The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a bull.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob Main, and welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show, where it is my goal to help you tap into the power of choice to live a more secure life on your own terms and live it exactly the way you want it, and to strengthen your resolve. And our whole motto here is to do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. There is real power in having options and choices in your life, and that's what we're all about. If you are a first-time listener to this show, first of all, I want to say welcome. Thank you. It's good to have you. You will find that this is a voice of reason, a practical show dedicated to common sense. And we don't get into a lot of conspiracy theories here and not a lot of paranoia type thinking. We just talk about what works and what makes sense in our lives to make things better today, so that if something does happen tomorrow, that we can respond from a position of strength. And that's what we're all about. Today's show, the topic, the main thrust of today's show is the story of the frog and the scorpion. Perhaps you've heard it before, but I'm going to tell it a little bit differently than you may have heard it. The story of the frog and the scorpion, and how it applies to living a more secure life. And I'll get into that in just a minute. I want to knock out a couple of announcements. I don't make my show real commercial, but I do like to cover a couple of key points. The first one is our website, www.todayssurvival.com, todayssurvival.com. And if you are an iTunes user, an iPod device, Apple device, and you're listening to this show, you can also search Today's Survival Show on iTunes. I'd love to get some comments. By the way, boost my ratings on iTunes, and whether you've got something positive, 5 stars, or even if it's some good constructive criticism, go ahead and put it up there on iTunes. As passerbys come through and look at the website or search for shows on iTunes, I want them to be able to hear what you think, because you are the listener and you're the one that I care about the most. And every time I get some type of good constructive criticism, I use it to make this show better. And the last announcement that I want to make, I know I've said this a few times, but I'm getting real close to bringing back the Survival Activist Club. Got a couple things I'm trying to nail down that are going to make it pretty special. So get your engines revved up for that again, so we can become more active and do our duty. And with that, that's all I want to say on the announcements. Let's get into the story of the frog and the scorpion. It goes like this. A frog was hopping along in the forest, heading home to her family, when all of a sudden she came upon a small river. Now, the frog, being a great swimmer, as frogs usually are, was about to leap into the river in order to swim across it when she heard a voice. And this is what she heard. "Is there any chance, kind lady, that you could help me across the river? For I cannot swim." The frog turned toward the direction of the voice and was startled to see a scorpion moving towards her on the riverbank. Now, everybody knows the history of scorpions. They sting and they have a deadly poison. So the frog, understandably, was a bit frightened when she heard this voice, and she trembled as she asked the scorpion, "If I help you across this river, will you promise not to sting me? You see, I'm on the way home to my family, and they would miss me terribly." The scorpion answered, "Kind lady, I understand your concern, but I am too on the way home to my family, and if I sting you, we would both drown. And who wants that? Besides, contrary to what you may have heard, I only sting for self-defense. Like if a fox were to try to eat me, for example. Please do me this great favor of taking me across the river. I would be so grateful." The frog considered the scorpion's words And she decided they really didn't seem like words of a killer. And she thought to herself, I mean no harm to the scorpion, and why would he sting me? If he stings me, we're both going to drown, and he must value life as much as I do. If I help him, he'll be my friend, because he knows that I am a nice frog. And as my friend, the scorpion would surely tell other scorpions that I'm his friend, and that they, too, should never try to sting me. And they wouldn't sting my frog family, or my frog friends either. And we frogs would be more than happy to help all scorpions cross the river. And maybe all scorpions would help protect all frogs and other small creatures from the truly dangerous creatures of the forest. And so by this time, the frog was so excited about helping the scorpion that she didn't even want to start thinking of reasons not to help him. Besides, the danger was too scary to think about compared to the wonderful new future that awaits the frogs and other small creatures of the forest with this new era of cooperation from scorpions. It will truly be paradise, she thought. So the frog crouched down and let the scorpion jump onto her back. She then hopped into the river with the scorpion on her back and began swimming. And she swam beautifully, just like frogs do. But when they got to the middle of the river, she felt something painful in her side. Ouch, said the frog. What was that? I just stung you, said the scorpion. The frog began to feel the poison take effect. It became harder for her to move, harder to swim. She thought about the paradise of universalistic brotherhood that could have been if the scorpion had not stung her. And she cried out to the scorpion, why did you do that? Now we will both drown. We could have been friends. Perhaps you can save yourself. Go ahead, swim to the other side. But it was too late. And of course, scorpions can't swim. And as they both began to sink, the scorpion answered the frog. I'm not like you. We don't care about dying or making friends. We lie and sting. It is our nature as scorpions. Didn't you know that? The frog and the scorpion sank fast to the bottom of the river, and the frog thought about the scorpion's question. Yes, thought the frog, still puzzled that frogs and scorpions could think and act differently. I mean, after all, they are both small creatures of the world, right? The frog, for a brief moment, started thinking things like, did I say something to anger him? Maybe he had a troubled childhood. Maybe society has been mean to him. Perhaps he got stressed out for some reason. Then, just before dying, the frog realized the answer to the scorpion's question. Yes, the frog should have known that scorpions lie and sting. That's their nature. That's who they are. That's what they are expected to do. They are expected to lie, to sting, and kill. After all, they're scorpions and they don't change. So the frog's thoughts of paradise and universalistic brotherhood that could have been were over. And the moral of the story is, a very important survival skill is the ability to recognize scorpions in all of their forms, both in the flesh and figuratively. And that's what I want to talk about. It's very important for us to be able to realize scorpions. You're going to see them in all different types of people. You're going to see them in all different types of situations. And through awareness, of the intrinsic nature of things, you can see beyond the surface and increase your chances of living to see another day. Let me suggest that you constantly be aware of people around you and what's going on. I'm not trying to be cynical here, folks. Seriously, I talk about how I try to keep this show practical, and I don't try to get into paranoia or conspiracy-type thinking. But let's dwell in reality. Let's not dwell in how we think things should be, like the frog did. People don't usually change dramatically. If they have a nature of violence, they usually stay that way. A person's nature doesn't usually change. I think a lot of us spend way too much time in this world trying to change people rather than learning how to deal with them and, if necessary, defend ourselves against them. And I'm not talking about guns right now. I'm just talking about being able to defend ourselves against allowing scorpions to fool us. Just like the scorpion fooled that frog. Or perhaps maybe the frog was just too naive. And that's also what I'm talking about. And that segues into the next topic that I want to talk about. Some things that I learned when I took Krav Maga martial arts. And also some things I learned from a very excellent website called NoNonsenseSelfDefense.com. And even though I'm going to spend the next segment in this show here talking about self-defense ideas, it's very applicable to just dealing with people in life. So again, I'll refer you to the website NoNonsenseSelfDefense.com, and I'll put a link in the show posting so you can check it out yourself. But the importance of situational awareness in modern street self-defense, in my opinion, just simply cannot be overemphasized. The importance of good situational awareness. Obviously, the frog didn't have very good situational awareness, did she? In the ring or a cage, you always know you're going to be fighting against one person. And you also know that he has no other weapons than the two arms and the two legs that are on his body. And you know that he won't attack you until after the bell sounds in a staged fight. But on the street, things are a lot different, aren't they? And that's kind of what I just talked about, the situation here, the street situation between the frog and the scorpion. Things are a whole lot different. You have no idea how many people are going to attack you, and not just physically. You have no idea how many people are going to attack you mentally and emotionally and financially and every other way. You have no idea when they're going to attack you and when they will stop. And in an emergency situation, the same type of thing is going to happen. And for this reason, that's why you see a lot of sport fighters typically lose a fight to experienced street fighters. And if I can use self-defense and fighting as an example again, a sport fighter is stabbed and then says, well, I never saw the knife coming, because he's trained to expect a fair fight. He's trained to expect a fair fight without weapons, and the street fighter is experienced. He's experienced enough to draw his knife and keep it out until he has cut his adversary and the fight is over. A sport fighter takes a street fighter to the ground and has his head kicked in by the street fighter's five friends that he brought along with him, because he's trained in the luxury of fighting in a team environment and bringing friends with him. A sport fighter is used to being in a cage with only one opponent, and the referee keeps things fair. Okay, think about that. And a lot of times you're going to get ganged up upon. And again, I'm not just only talking about physical conflicts. You may get ganged up on in a lot of other ways that aren't just physical. If a sport fighter gets sucker punched and then says, well, I never saw the punch coming, it's because he was trained not to expect any attacks until after the bell rings. But a street fighter is experienced enough to know that the person who lands the first punch usually wins a street fight. So let's go ahead and focus real heavily here on self-defense for a minute, because you may find yourself in a situation, and you may not always have a gun with you. When it comes to crime and violence, the biggest difficulty you're going to face is not your attacker. The biggest difficulty you're going to face is how you think, and what you normally think, quite likely, will prevent you from implementing the proper solution that you're going to need in the available amount of time. And sometimes all you've got is a split second. And the same thing can be said about dealing with people in life. People typically succumb to the preconceived notions that we've learned from our past. Okay? We typically start thinking about what we've learned in our past. What did our teachers teach us? What did our parents teach us? And sometimes, unfortunately, we give people the benefit of the doubt and we trust them just a bit too much. Or sometimes we are trained in concepts like, things aren't always what they seem. You know, I disagree with that. Things usually are what they seem. Learn to trust your gut feeling. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the biggest problem you're going to face is not going to be your attacker. It's going to be overcoming your own way of thinking in order to deal effectively with the attacker. And you know what? I am guilty of that. I'm very guilty of that because I was taught things when I was young to try as best I can to give people the benefit of the doubt. And to be able to overcome your way of thinking and do it before your attacker is successful, that's the key. And the reason why that doesn't happen sometimes is because we've been trained improperly or we're not even trained at all. If the frog would have learned this lesson, perhaps she would not have made the decision to give the scorpion a ride. Now, this might seem kind of simple and obvious, folks, right? You could be saying, oh, come on, Bob, all right? This person's attacking me, so I'm going to defend myself. How hard is that to figure out? The reality is, it's not that simple to figure out. Shifting gears isn't something that you just automatically do. The human brain is a marvel of flexibility and adaptability, but it has to be trained. It's not automatically flexible. It has to be trained. And if you haven't trained your mind beforehand, sometimes the difficulties that present themselves as barriers to getting into the right mindset always happen at the worst possible time. And this is why I'm so big on mindset, folks. This is why I'm so big on getting yourself mentally prepared to survive, no matter what the situation is. What is your mindset? What are you thinking at the time? How are you thinking in advance? When you're trying to survive, even in everyday life, problems, obviously, unexpectedly hit us. They unexpectedly pop up. And the last thing you need is to have a brain fade when all of a sudden you're faced with a critical decision. It needs to be a reflexive response. And one of the things that I learned from Tom Hopkins a long time ago is that your reactions need to be reflexive responses. Reflexive responses. Responses that you don't even think about. You don't even have, it's second nature. All of a sudden, when you're hit with a stimulus, bang, you know exactly what you're supposed to do. Stimulus hits, and it sets off something in your brain that says, all right, this is what I have to do. And you don't even have to think about it. It's just an automatic second nature response. In fact, the way that these types of problems typically pop up, I kind of give the example of racing across the northern Arizona desert, for example. And those of you who live in that part of the country, you know what I mean. Let's say you're in a race car and you're driving 100 miles an hour across the desert, the northern Arizona desert, and all of a sudden you come up to the Grand Canyon. And it just so happened that you forgot the Grand Canyon was there, or you miscalculated the distance between where you were and where the base of the Grand Canyon was. Maybe you were daydreaming, right? Maybe you were distracted, or you were somewhere in la-la land. Okay, and that seems to happen to a lot of people. It's happened to me before, when they get nervous. Okay, and what happens is, like when you're driving that fast and you hit the Grand Canyon, you can see how to get out of the predicament because you can see the other side of the Grand Canyon, but there's a little problem. that large 1 mile wide canyon between you and the other side makes things just a little bit harder, doesn't it? It kind of just makes the problem just a little bit bigger, and you've only got a split second to react. And that's one of the reasons, is because you miscalculated. You assumed at that point, while you're doing 120 in your Corvette, that I know what I'm doing. I'm overconfident, but I mean, you were overconfident, but you're saying to yourself, hey, I know what I'm doing. I got this whole situation under control. I know I can stop before I get to the canyon. Everything's okay. No problem. And getting back to, if we face a violent situation again, the average person who's all of a sudden finds themselves facing violence, you may see where you need to go, but there's this huge abyss. There's this huge canyon between you and your goal. The odds are against you being successful if you're in that situation. But if you've done your homework, problems like this are not unexpected, and they can be overcome. And if I can use that Grand Canyon analogy again, knowledge and pre-planning for these types of problems shrinks that problem from a Grand Canyon to a creek. Yes, you still have to jump it, but you know it's there, and now all of a sudden, it's a lot more manageable. You have a better chance of getting to the other side. And this also happens to me a lot in sales. As you know, I'm just a regular guy, folks. You know, I'm in sales. I'm a salesperson for a living. I have been for 26 years. Doing today's survival show is my hobby. And I often do these when I'm driving down the road going to business appointments. And one thing about selling is, if I'm not prepared to handle an objection that a buyer gives me, if I don't know in advance what he or she is going to say, if I'm not ready for that objection, or if I don't have a satisfactory answer or a satisfactory way of overcoming their complaint, for example, then I've hit the Grand Canyon. But if I know the issue is going to come up and I'm ready to handle it, that Grand Canyon turns into a creek and I can overcome it and move on. And then I have a better chance of doing business with that person. And in a self-defense situation, there are typically five areas that most people commonly trip over. And this is good stuff from NoNonsenseSelfDefense.com. And these five areas that we commonly trip over in a self-defense situation also parlays into our life. And it can cause us to make fatal mistakes. And let me get you familiar with some of these. I don't have time in this podcast to talk about how to solve all of them. Maybe I'll do that in another show coming up soon. But you have to know what these problems are, and you have to get committed to solving them. And again, this doesn't apply only to self-defense. It applies to life. Number one, recognition. Knowing when there's something wrong. Okay? It's kind of like a sixth sense that you have to develop. Knowing when there's something wrong. Trust your gut. Number two is palatability. Okay, how palatable is this problem? Is this something that I can solve, or is this something too big for me, and do I need to get out? Do I need to exit the area quickly? Number three is available time. How much available time do I have? How much realistic? These are questions you have to ask yourself. How much time do I have to solve this problem? Number four, what's the appropriate response, or is there an appropriate response? And the fifth fatal mistake is the lack of experience in operating in an adrenalized state. Adrenaline, you know, that pesky problem that takes place when all of a sudden you're excited and you're freaked out, and it's very difficult to think clearly. Okay? Now, in the next show, I am going to get into these five. I'm going to get into recognition, palatability, available time, what's the appropriate response, and what do I do if I lack the experience in operating in an adrenalized state? All right, I'm going to get into detail in those in the next show. But I want to tell you a little personal story, and then I have an audio clip to close out this show that I think you're going to like. And then, of course, for the next episode, I'll save the details for getting into those five fatal mistakes. But a little personal story I want to tell you. You know, you've heard me talk about in other podcasts about a situation that I found myself in very unexpectedly with a family member who meant to do me harm. And it really reminded me of the story of the frog and the scorpion, which is why I wanted to put that into this show, because I was the frog. I bought into the lie that this family member meant me no harm. And I basically decided to carry him across the river, so to speak, to help him out. And little did I know that this person was a scorpion. This person was going to sting me, and eventually sting me he did. He threatened my life and almost got a gun and shot me. Okay, and I was able to defuse the situation before that happened. I was able to react. I was able to keep a relatively cool head under pressure, and I did have some help from some other people, thank God. That made all the difference in the world, having some help from some other people. And the situation got diffused. And of course, I'm all right. I came out of there okay, and I'm doing just fine now. And of course, I get to bring you today's survival show. But had I been too naive, and had I lacked the ability to think clearly, and if I'd have had this copacetic idea that everything is just going to be terrific, and maybe I'm going to turn this enemy, this potential enemy of mine, into my friend, if I had thought like the frog was thinking, I might have been dead. Okay? Scorpions are scorpions. You're probably not going to change them. And although they may put on a pretty face, and they may put on a friendly smile, and they might say to you, everything is okay, don't believe them. I know this may sound harsh, and I know it might be something for us, hard for us to wrap our brains around. Because, you know, I mean, we all want peace, right? But there's just some people that aren't peaceful, folks. They're just not peaceful. We see this all over the world today, don't we? We see this with people that hate other countries, that love freedom. They hate the United States. They hate Great Britain. They hate Canada. They hate certain European countries that like freedom. They hate Israel. The reason is because they're just not friendly people. They're scorpions. And as much as we like to think like the frog and think that if we just reason with these people, everything is going to be okay, it's not the truth. They're scorpions, and they lie, and they sting, and they kill. All right? So, with that said, I want you to listen to a little audio clip I got for you here. It's a little satirical. It's an attempt at some humor, but if you think about what is going to be said here in the next minute and a half or so, this is not really picking on a certain group of people either. This is actually picking on a certain way of thinking. That's all I'm going to say when I introduce this. This is just picking on a way of thought. It's not picking on a group of people. So here you go. Enjoy this, and I'll be back on in just a minute.
Pose the following question. You're walking down a deserted street with your wife and two small children. Suddenly, a dangerous-looking man with a huge knife comes around the corner, locks eyes with you, screams obscenities, raises the knife, and charges. You are carrying a Colt 1911, and you are an expert shot. You have mere seconds before he reaches you and your family. What do you do? Liberal answer.
Well, that's not enough information to answer the question. I mean, does the man look poor or oppressed? Have I ever done anything to him that would inspire him to attack? Couldn't we just run away? What does my wife think? And what about the kids? Could I possibly swing the gun like a club and knock the knife out of his hand? What does the law say about this situation? Does the Colt 1911 have an appropriate safety built into it? Why am I carrying a loaded gun anyway, and what kind of message does it send to society and to my children? Does he definitely want to kill me, or would he be content just to wound me? If I were to grab his knees and hold on, could my family get away while he was stabbing me? Maybe I should call 911. Why is this street so deserted anyway? We need to raise taxes and have a paint and weed day and make this a happier, healthier street that would discourage such behavior. This is also confusing. I need to debate this over a mocha latte with some friends for a few hours and try to come to a consensus. There's just so much to consider here.
conservative answer. The average G. Gordon Liddy Show listener answer.
Nice group, Daddy. Were those the Corbon Powerball bullets or the Winchester Silvertips?
Okay, you know, I've heard that so many times, and it's still funny even hearing it for about the 12th or 13th time. Again, but, you know, that wasn't meant to pick on liberals. I know G. Gordon Liddy likes to do that, but I hope that you understand the deeper message of that. The deeper message is picking on the way of thinking that person, overanalyzing and getting too caught up on, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we just had a peaceful world? And what kind of a message am I sending? Who cares what kind of a message you're sending? The world is what it is, folks. It is what it is. Please don't deny that. And please don't start telling yourself that it's something other than what it is. Let's dwell in reality. That's what I want to talk about. And let's not forget the story of the frog and the scorpion. Because if you start putting too many scorpions on your back, and you start trying to carry them across the river, ladies and gentlemen, eventually they are going to sting and kill you. And so with that, I'm going to start to bring this show to a close. In the next episode, I am going to get into what to do about recognition, how to recognize when there's things wrong, how to develop that sixth sense, and how to ask yourself, is this a palatable situation? Is this something I can do something about, or do I need to flee or get out? And what type of available time do I have? And then what would be the appropriate response within the time I have? And how do I gain more experience in operating in a state of pure adrenaline? How do I make the proper decisions? I'll get into that in the next show. And so thank you for listening to this episode of today's Survival Show. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to throw this out there. If you gain some benefit from this show, if this show helps you think and structure your life in ways that maybe you haven't done before, and if you're getting some benefit from what I do on this show, as you notice, I don't make this show real commercial. I don't have a whole ton of sponsors on here trying to sell you a bunch of stuff and things like that. I don't really care for that when people do that on their websites. This show exists on the kind donations of listeners like you. So I'm not putting any high pressure on you. These podcasts will always be free. I really love doing this. I enjoy this. This is something I have a lot of fun with, and I have fun sharing information. But if you feel that it's in your heart, if you can send a small donation our way, that would be great. You'd be helping to support the show. There is a donate button on the front page of todayssurvival.com. With that said, thanks for tuning in. Remember to do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. And I'm Bob Main. This is today's Survival Show, where I help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want on your own terms and strengthen your resolve. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time, folks. Have a good one.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own